Manuscript Releases, Volume 9, Number 664 to 770. MR Number 764. Restoration of the Image of God. God designed all these trials not to discourage, but to develop a class of Christian virtues which seldom are seen in the sunshine of prosperity. Every unselfish action makes the character more Christ-like. A true, noble life is characterized by thoughtful attention to the needs of others. There is no graduation from the school of Christ. Throughout the ceaseless ages of eternity, Christians will be learners in this school. The most precious work that my brethren can engage in is that of forming a Christ-like character, that they may enter into the mansions which Christ has gone to prepare for them. Godliness is the only solid foundation for true dignity and completeness of character. The cause of God must be represented by men whose hearts are as tender, pure, true, and compassionate as is the heart of Christ. He, God, has permitted the furnace fires to kindle upon you because He loved you and would mold you through fiery trials into the image of Christ. The moral image of God has been lost, but those who are laborers together with God are to restore in men the likeness of Christ. They are to impart ideas that will work their salvation and that will prepare them to be temples of the Holy Ghost. It is a knowledge of the perfection of the divine character, manifested to us in Jesus Christ, that opens up to us communion with God. It is by appropriating the great and precious promises that we are to become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We may attain unto glory and virtue, though weak, sinful mortals, by learning daily lessons in the school of Christ, by becoming conformed to the divine image, by manifesting His excellency of character, by adding grace to grace, by climbing round by round the ladder heavenward, by becoming complete in the Beloved. The highest work of God is the redemption of the fallen race. He calls for all the faculties and powers of His co-workers to be put to the tax for this one achievement, the salvation of souls, the triumph of His grace and love. The pure heart is more precious than treasures of gold and silver, more valuable than diamonds. 150, 1899, page 6. To men in responsible positions in the Review and Herald office, September 28, 1899. Meekness and lowliness of heart is a Christian virtue, but it is no virtue for a man to demerit himself and entertain a worse opinion of himself than is profitable. The soul of man is of such value that nothing can compare with it. He should always remember, I have been bought with a price. The price paid for man's redemption marks the value God places upon him. The love of God, the value of Christ's life, is placed in the scales, and nothing, not even the whole world, can balance them. God gives wisdom, and as we seek diligently to improve every talent, we become more and more Christ-like in our words and works. The Savior is controlling the mind, the will, the heart. The mighty cleaver of truth is separating from the world all who will accept Christ as a personal Savior. These God brings into His workshop, and day by day with hammer and chisel, He works to remove their rough edges, preparing them for a place in His kingdom. Great changes will be made in those who are taken out of the world to shine in the courts of the Lord. There is to be an inward transformation, the results of which are revealed in the outward life. All that the Christian says or does is to show that he is preparing for a better world. Every step is to be a step of advance. He shows that the highest aim of his life is to meet the divine standard. The character formed here must be after the likeness of Christ's character, or we can never hear the welcome, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Matthew 25, verse 34. The whole heart's purpose must be constantly refined, elevated, ennobled, sanctified, else you will mar the work of God and ruin your own soul. The truth, my brother, must be more clearly stamped upon your heart. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Romans 10, verse 10. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. Mark 12, verse 30. Human nature will continue to be human nature, but it can be elevated and ennobled by union with the divine nature. Those who have received the light of present truth should make constant improvement in knowledge, moving steadily onward and upward toward that city whose builder and maker is God. We must experience the power of divine grace before we can be pure and elevated. He who holds true communion with God has no relish for the low and commonplace, for transient delights and indulgences. Under the molding influence of the Holy Spirit, he reveals a preference for better things. He who has drunk of the pure fountain of living water will take no delight in the muddy, turbulent streams of earth. There are many, like grown-up children, who seem to live merely to eat and drink and to gratify their own desires. Their minds become degraded by vice and amusement, and the ceaseless round of gratification of the lowest indulgences. We must have faith in Christ if we would reflect the divine character. The Word of God in the Old and New Testaments, if faithfully studied and received into the life, will give spiritual wisdom and life. His Word is to be sacredly cherished. Faith in the Word of God and in the power of Christ to transform the life will enable the believer to work his works and to live his word and have a life of rejoicing in the Lord. 340, 1907, pages 3, 4. To the workers in Southern California, October 3rd, 1907. In every kind of education, we must imitate the Master par excellence. He requires that the souls whom he is purifying unto himself should never cease to grow intellectually or spiritually through their entire life. 24, 1887, pages 6, 7, 13. Testimony for the workers of the publishing house at Basel, February 14, 1887. There is no soul before me today that will meet the high claims that God has upon him, unless he will acknowledge that all his reasoning powers are a gift from God, and that he must put every talent to use. He must use every ability that God has given him. The education that God has given him in his lifetime is never to cease. He is to continue reaching upward and forward, making the very most of our God-given abilities. 3, 1888, page 3. Living for God, a sermon preached at Oakland, California, September 25th, 1888. Tender, compassionate, sympathetic, ever considerate for others, he represented the character of God and was constantly engaged in service for God. And as Jesus was in human nature, so God means his followers to be. 7, 1891, page 1. Christian Service in the Living Church, June 10th, 1891. Jesus came to our world and took upon him our nature, and he was assailed with all the temptations wherewith men will be beset, but he yielded not. He maintained the full perfection of heaven's character. It is such a character, builded after the pattern, that constitutes our fitness to see God. Without Christ, we can do nothing. We must come into close relation to Jesus. Our life must be hid with Christ in God. Like Moses, we must be hidden in the cleft of the rock, and then we shall behold the glory of God. God designs that the divine shall be united with the human. Man, though fallen, need not ever remain enfeebled and degraded through sin. We are to become partakers of the pure and celestial element, beholding Jesus and becoming changed into his likeness. Character must be formed in this life by looking daily at the manifestation of him in whose life and character the grace of the heavenly attributes is revealed. In Jesus is seen a representation of what the believer must be, full of grace and truth. The great work of Christ's disciples upon the earth is a daily assimilation to the character of our Savior. We must have the character of Christ, and then we shall better understand what heaven is like. Iniquity has debased the form of human beings and has well nigh obliterated the image of God from their hearts. Many have acted as though it was enough to know that Satan had his trap all set for a soul, and they could go home and rest and be at ease and care no more for the one lost sheep. In manifesting such a spirit, it is evident that we have not been partakers of the divine nature, but partakers of the attributes of the enemy of God. God would express his character in humanity. But the attributes of Christ can be revealed only through those who labor in love for the souls for whom Christ has died. Christ-likeness will be revealed only by those who are assimilated to the divine image. The voice of God calls from heaven and demands the use of every entrusted capability. 6. 1895, pages 1, 2, 4. Genuine and Counterfeit Christianity, No Date. God made man upright, fitted to stand in his God-given capabilities. He created him to possess a nature allied to the angels, an inheritance of life eternal. This testimony may be borne of all who will resist temptation, who will educate themselves to respect themselves, not as lords, but as human beings, whose redemption cost heaven an infinite price. They are to cut loose from the slavery of Satan's power and look upon themselves as too precious and valuable to descend to any cheap ideas or common mean practices and so dishonor body and soul that the Lord is ashamed to call them brethren. They are to reverence themselves by reverencing God who gave Jesus to ransom them. Thus, they may make of themselves, through Christ, powerful, consecrated workmen who can cooperate with God in the great work of restoring in man the moral image of God. In order to understand and reverence themselves, they must reverence God. This will give them correct ideas of their entire dependence upon God. Then they may be called sons of God, and angels will dwell amongst them. 40. 1896, pages 10, 11, 12. The Workers Needed in Korenbong, December 31, 1896. The principles of the character of God were the foundation of the education constantly kept before the heavenly angels. These principles were goodness, mercy, and love. Let your influence be persuasive, binding people to your hearts because you love Jesus, and these souls are his purchased possession. This is a great work. If, by your Christ-like words and actions, you make impressions that will create in their hearts a hungering and thirsting after righteousness and truth, you are a co-laborer with Christ. Those who have a leading influence in the institutions should be men and women who possess devotion and piety, who are not narrow and selfish in any matter, but conscientious, self-denying, and self-sacrificing, ever dealing with the workers as they would wish to be dealt with, having an eye single to the glory of God. Men of such a character will keep the way of the Lord. The workers should seek to make it as easy as possible for those who bear the burden of responsibility and have many cares and perplexities to engage their attention. All need to have right principles placed before them in a judicious manner. Men of investigative minds will thus receive the key of knowledge and will bring out treasures of thought for the enriching of other minds, thought that will result in the saving of souls. Circumstances will call forth words and decisions in favor of the right, and many will thus be swayed to the right direction. Words and works flowing from the heart imbued with the love and fear of God become a widespread blessing, a blessing that is carried into the highways and byways of life. The mind may be so elevated that divine thoughts and contemplations come to be as natural as the breath. all the faculties of the soul are to be trained. We must do God's work intelligently. We must know the truth. And to know this is to know God. Educate mind and heart to pure, elevated, holy thoughts. 74, 1896, pages 4, 11, 13. To the managers and workers in our institutions, no date. The true Christian draws his motives for action from his deep love for his Redeemer. His affection for his Master is true and holy, and it is the cheerful, lovable Christian of whom Christ says, "Ye are my witnesses," Isaiah 43, verse 10. Such a man is Christ's representative, for he reflects Christ in his daily life. It is when he recedes from the light that he cannot diffuse its bright beams to others. The religion that meets the Bible standard touches the soul and forms the character after the divine similitude. When in union and communion with Christ, under his molding influence, his followers reveal his character. When the student fully realizes that it is Christ whom he must honor, that Christ is to be his guide, his counselor in everything he undertakes, that he alone can give a fitness for work in any position, that it is he who restores the moral image of God in man, when he understands that the very image, the character, of Christ is to be reflected in man, then every talent will be a power for good. All the studies given to our youth should be of that character that will make them the most successful in the service of God, and such as will enable them to follow in the footsteps of Christ. Study the life of Christ. Follow him from the manger to Calvary. Act as he acted. The great principles which he maintained, you are to maintain. Your standard is to be the character of him who was pure and holy and undefiled. 11, 1898, pages 1, 2, 4, 5. The Word of God as a Study Book, June 29, 1898. Supreme love to God leads us to seek the highest good of humanity. It places the whole being under God's control. Selfishness destroys the moral image of God in man, filling him with self-love. Christ says, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." Matthew 5, verse 48. But self-love is blind to the perfection which God requires. Seeking the good of others is the only way to find true happiness. Every indulgence in wrongdoing makes an eternal impression upon our characters. 65, 1903, pages 4, 5. Diary, The Need of Repentance, November 8, 1902. There is a peculiarly close union between the transformed soul and God. It is impossible to find words to describe this union. It is a treasure worth infinitely more to the true believer than gold and silver. The Christian sees the Savior ever before him, and by beholding, he becomes changed into the same image, from glory to glory. He bears the signature of God. Shall we give this up for the science of sophistry? Never. Truth is full of godlike richness. He who is partaker of the divine nature will hold firm to the truth. He will never let go, for the truth holds him. As you pray and believe, you become a partaker of the divine nature and have gained a wonderful victory. 92, 1908, page 6. Lessons from the 15th chapter of John. Parlor Talk, given at Glendale Sanitarium, August 22, 1908. Keeping the first four commandments makes us one with Christ, who gave his life as a ransom to deliver all from the thraldom of sin, and to make us free men and women in him. The value of man is to be estimated at the price paid for his redemption. Those who exercise faith dwell in the presence of purity and are one with Christ. Their life is hid with Christ in God. The continual progress of the soul in divine knowledge and virtue is God's purpose. White Estate, Washington, D.C., February 1, 1980.